Now, when we left off last week, we left off chapter 1, we saw how God had brought Naomi and Ruth through some very trying, difficult times. They had lost their husbands and were on this really perilous journey back from Moab to Bethlehem. Now, a great lesson that I think we learnt last week is when, this was a takeaway from last week, and I hope you all think about this, that we have to come to an end of ourselves. We've got to come to an end of ourselves in order to find the beginning of God. So it's about, forgetting about yourself, forgetting about all that stuff and just coming before God. Now, for Ruth and Naomi in this particular book that we're reading, it was a great tragedy. But they would never have received or ever had imagined that blessing that God had in store for them both. Once they did come to an end of themselves and they cast their lives wholeheartedly into God's caring hand. So now what we've got, these two grieving women. They've made it back to Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem, and they've got to find a way of surviving here. And this is where we pick up the story. So let's read the first three verses of chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Since they had arrived back to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest in chapter 1, verse 23, Ruth felt it best to make herself available to the custom of gleaning behind the reapers of the field. So I need to explain this a little bit. So let's talk about gleaning just for a couple of minutes here. The custom of gleaning was allowing the poor to follow the reapers of the field. And they were to pick up the fallen grain. And this custom of gleaning went all the way back to the early agricultural law of the Hebrews. Let me read a couple of passages for you this morning. You can turn to them if you like. One is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 to 10. And the other one is Deuteronomy 24, 19. This is what it says in Leviticus 19, 9 to 10. "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time, or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 24:19 says this: "When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hand." Now, by gleaning the leftovers here, she had been able to support herself and Naomi. I want you to note here that I want you to know what a great demonstration this is of the compassion of God. So just note all of this here. The compassion of God for those who are poor and for those who are needy. I think it's a wonderful illustration here. Now, we have here in our passage, so she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. Oh, this is where it gets really interesting. Now, what would sort of seem as a chance encounter for all of us, this is not a chance encounter. We were talking about God's providence last week. This to me is providence in action. He was a man, he was a rich man, great wealth, and apparently a man of good standing within the community. What would that mean to be a person of good standing within the community? Do you think we have that today? Who would say you're a person of good standing? Oh, I don't know if I say anybody here. No, you are. You are people of good standing before the Lord. But it's interesting because when you think you're a person of good standing, well, would you, if you went to the shopping centre, they would look at you and say, there goes a person of good standing. Hey, let's go to our next where Ruth meets Boaz. Let's have a look at this one. So we're picking it up from verse 4 to 7. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and he greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. This is great. Pay attention to all of this stuff here. The Lord bless you, they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, who does that young woman belong to? The overseer replied, she's a Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Boaz, apparently a man of God, looked after his work as well. That's what verse 4 tells us here. Then he took special notice of Ruth. Verse 5. It's an interesting word. I was looking at the King James Version, and the King James Version was, whose damsel is this? What would we say in today's day and age? Who that girl? That's basically what he said. Who is this woman? Now, let's have a look at the heart of Boaz cares for Ruth. So let's pick it up in 8 to 17, verse 8 to 17. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? And Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law. Isn't that wonderful? Since the death of your husband, how you left your father, your mother, and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings, I want you to pay attention here, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have put me at ease. Isn't this wonderful? Wonderful story. You've put me at ease. He spoke to her. You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant. Though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here. Have a little bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. And when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and do not rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered and it amounted to about an epah. Boaz made certain, this is really great here, that Ruth was provided for and also that she was protected from any harm. And she was welcome to stay as long as she wanted. Isn't that wonderful? As long as she needed. So let's hear about this great report that she brings home in our next few verses. She carried it back to town. There it is, being carried to town. And her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Typical mothers-in-law say, blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz. The Lord bless him. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, he has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead, she added. That man is a close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. Then Ruth, the Moabite, said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter. Hint, hint. To go with the women who work with him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So we have in verse 18, 19 says that she brings this really great report to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And it turns out that Boaz is a relative, is a well, we have a kinsman redeemer to them all. We're going to look at this interesting detail next week in verse 20. It's a great illustration of God again. So Naomi gives Ruth her blessing to stay close to Boaz. We've got that in verse 21 and 22. They were welcome to glean. So you've got that welcoming. And we have a real turn of events from chapter 1 right here. Chapter 1, if you read it, it sort of seems a little bit discouraging. Yes, there's a love song story here that Ruth is going to follow Naomi, where her God is, where she will be, all of that stuff. And it unfolds to this wonderful promise in chapter 2. Now, this is probably the most, certainly the beginning of a human love interest between Boaz and Ruth. But behind everything here, behind this developing love story, and it's a beautiful love story, do you know who's romancing Ruth? God is romancing. God is gently working the way that God does so well. And what we have here is the beginning of it's a romance of a hopeful heart. God is demonstrating through the person of Boaz his own love for her. And he's demonstrating here the love that he has for all people with hopeful hearts. I hope you've come this morning. See, there's the word hope again. I hope you've come this morning with a hopeful heart of the love of Jesus Christ. I want us to focus our attention for a bit on verse 12, where it says, "May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Boaz blessed Ruth. This is a beautiful blessing. Boaz blessed Ruth for taking care of Naomi. It was a kind and considerate thing to do. She was working hard, and this is not easy work at all. Hard to provide for both of them. What we have here is Boaz has prayed a blessing on her hand, because what he did here, he recognized the significance of Ruth. And he's saying here, he's talking about under the wings. Well, God obviously hasn't got literal wings. But when we talk about under the wings of God, there is this eternal security. It's an expression of eternal security. It is protection that God offers his children. And he offers that protection for each and every one of us here. And we know all of that, you know, as a mother bird protects her young by spreading her wings over it. Beautiful passage I want to read from Psalm 36:7. "How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings." Here's a couple more psalms as well. Psalm 57:1. "Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." Psalm 63:7-8. "Because you are my help, I sing in the shadows of your wings. I cling to you, your right hand uphold." Psalm 91:1-4. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust." So what is it under the wings of God? What do you take away from that? Work with me here. Protection. Protection. And the answer in this passage here can be found in the gentle care of Boaz for Ruth. It's a beautiful model of the gentle love that God has for each and every one of us. This beautiful model. I love this book. I want to tell you something else, that God takes special notice of you. Verse 5. Boaz took particular interest. She's poor. She's a helpless person. She's new to town. You know, so we're pretty much like her too, aren't we? We're poor, we're pretty hopeless, helpless at times, we're needy. And for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. And I want to tell you that, yes, God loves you so. And we mustn't think of God as being passively or a detached deity who doesn't care what's going on, even in the mundane things of our lives. But we have a loving God, a compassionate God. You've got to understand this stuff. God demonstrates his love towards each and every one of us. Why? Why were we still yet sinners? Who died for us? Son, Jesus Christ died for us. Another thing too, that it is filled with so much love. And there's something else I want to bring out of it. God desires for you to stay close to his family. There's verse 8 in the passage here. What did Boaz request Ruth to do? Stay close. Stay close. Stay close. As the saying says, home is where the heart is. I love that saying. Home is where the heart is. And where's God's heart? Closest to his children, to each and every one of you. There is a place for each and every one of you in God's church here at Deception Bay. We are fellow servants here at Deception Bay. There is a place. And if you want to come and glean behind us, you can glean behind us. If you want to come and paint, there's some painting to be done. See Peter Hibbert. We will gladly give you a brush and our blessings, won't we? We will bless the work. Pete will bless you. Even a roller. You know, I sort of think sometimes in kingdom stuff, you know, we may be small in comparison to some mega churches, but we are not insignificant in the eyes of God. And nobody is insignificant in the eyes of God. God has led each and every one of us this far, and the journey will continue to go on. It will continue to go on. Hebrews 10, 24-25. This is a great passage here, Hebrews 10, 24-25. It's about encouraging one another. That's what we need to do. Every time we get together, encourage, encourage. That's why you've got to be people of joy, joy in the Lord. And it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together or grabbing a brush and painting as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. I put that bit in. And all the more as you see the day approaching. God's also going to protect you from harm here. We have that in our passage 8 and 9. You know, Boaz protected Ruth from harm, encouraging her to stay close to the other women, stay close here, so stuff doesn't happen to you. You know, and he ordered the male workers, leave her alone. What do you think would have happened in those days? We get this beautiful love story, but what do you think would have happened to the female workers there? I'm not going to be descriptive here. But God takes care of us. He says, stay close to me. I will take over stuff. I will look after you in every possible way. As long as you continue to love me, as long as you continue to pray, as long as you continue to do all this stuff, I will be there for you, regardless. He helps us. He protects us. And I know, look, as Christians, we're not exempt from hardship, trials, tribulation, all of this stuff. We suffer as well. Some endless violence, persecuted Christians. But in those instances, God is allowing hardship for a greater purpose of our good. Believe me when I say that. You know, for the good of the Christian cause and for his glory. And I don't know that I can explain the mystery of this all, but God's word promises that his children will be protected. I want to read from Psalm 34, 7, 8. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Take refuge in him. Verse 9 here too, we've also got God provides you with living water without cost. I love the way Boaz freely offered Ruth to drink from the water with her servant. And you know, God quenches the thirst of a weary soul. Can you hear that? It's lovely music. Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. John, another passage, John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living waters flow from within me. This is Jesus. This is God. And God feeds us with the bread of life. We got verse 14 here. Ruth was satisfied even with the leftovers. I want to tell you this morning that a child of God, depending on their provision, will not go hungry. You will not go hungry. God promises to meet all your needs. Let me repeat that. All your needs, not all your wants. He's not going to give you that great Mustang, or he's not going to give you this. You know, but he's going to give you all you need. And all we need is Jesus Christ. God gave bread from heaven. Do you remember the bread from heaven for the Jews? Wandered around the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. And how many kilometres it was to the promised land? A couple down the road. John 6:48-51. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone, you're getting all this stuff that anyone may eat and not die. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Do you want to live forever, Bella? Yeah, in eternity. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Do you also, another thing I want to tell you is God blesses the work of your hands. Verse 15, 16. Now Boaz here we have, he's ordered his servants to pull out some grains of the sheaves for Ruth. God doesn't do all the work for you, let me tell you that. But what you will find, and I'm testimony to that, if you honour God in the workplace, if you honour God in the workplace, he's going to reward you with extra gleanings. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Getting this stuff here. Another Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We have in this passage here, in what we've been looking at Ruth this morning, the gentle care of Boaz. It's a physical description of the divine loving care of God. I want to finish off by asking probably a couple of questions this morning, but is there a Boaz in your life who's demonstrating to you in very tangible ways, the love of God? Is there that person? Why don't we take a moment now and pray if there is that person? Dear Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge you once again that we can come and bring all our petitions, Lord, all of our thoughts, all of our cares and all the concerns to you. Lord, we do want to pray if there is that one person who is a Boaz in our lives, Lord, who shows us the gentle care and the love of you. Lord, may you bless that person. May you bless them. Do you know also, if you don't have a Boaz in your life, ask God and God will bring you one, bring you somebody. Be it male or female. Another question I've got to ask, are you acting as a Boaz in somebody else's life? Are you doing that? You're doing that. Are you acting as that Boaz so people can see Jesus Christ in your actions and your deeds and being led by the Holy Spirit? What we say and do is a reflection. It really is, and it shows our values and all of this stuff. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God wants every single Christian to act as a Boaz, to find a wandering Ruth out there. And that wandering Ruth can be in a person of whomever that is, could be a young person, could be whatever, it doesn't have to be male, female, a person who is hungry, a person who's hungry mostly for God. Is there somebody out there for all of us? Verse 10, this is what Ruth says to Boaz. Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Let's think about this for a minute. Let's think about Ruth's attitude. How was her heart? Do you think she had a great heart attitude? I think she did. I think she had a great heart attitude. And it's an attitude that we all should have. You know, we should ask, why should you give your grace to me, O God? I'm a foreigner. I'm a stranger. Strange person. Thank you for including me in the gentle care under your wings. That's what we should say. I wonder if there's anybody here today that God really needs to work on. Maybe there might be somebody here who's tired of putting on the act of being a Christian and they're ready for the real thing. You're ready for the real thing. Tonight, you know, tonight we're going to have the real thing here, but tonight we want to break down walls and we're going to break down barriers and we want to worship God. That's why we come here on Sunday, to worship God. That's why we do it at night, to worship and praise God. That's why I'm so excited about tonight. So excited. You know, for anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ, Jesus can be your Lord and your Savior this very moment. God is calling you under his mighty wings. You know, maybe there's somebody here this morning who's struggling with stuff. You know, let us pray over you. Now, I'm here. Pastor Chris is here. Daryl Elder's here. David's here. There's some great people within the church. You know, is there somebody who needs to find shelter under God's wing this morning? Is there somebody who feels they've been left out, they've been forsaken, bad stuff's happened? God is calling you to find shelter under his wings. And I want to say thank you, God. God, for calling me, for providing for me, for desiring for me. And that's for each and every one of us to stay close to him, protecting, providing all of this stuff. Hey, let's stand. Let's pray. Pass it back to David. If anybody needs some prayer afterwards, come see myself, Pastor Chris, Daryl, David. We'll pray about it. We'll pray that God just gives you gleanings upon gleanings upon gleanings. Amen. Let's pray. So thank you, dear Heavenly Father, and we desire you more than ever this morning. Lord, we thank you we can take away lessons from Ruth this morning, lessons from Boaz, Lord, and most importantly, your lesson this morning. Lord, that we first need to come to an end of ourselves to find the real and true living God. Lord, that even though we have worries, we have concerns, we have struggles, we know that you are there protecting us, Lord, finding favor upon us, sinners such as us. Lord, the greatest gift of all is sending your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for each and every single person here. And Lord, and throughout creation, that ever was and that will ever be. So we thank you and we acknowledge what a good, great God you are this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.